Welcome to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast, where we discuss various dog training topics to help you become the best leader for your dog. Marvin Pierce has over 20 years of experience with obedience training for dogs located in the Sherwood, Oregon area. Offering private lessons and group clinics, the dog teacher has been able to change the lives of dog owners by helping them develop and maintain an obedient dog. For more information, contact us at marvinpiercedogteacher.com.
Well, we're going to start back professionally on our podcast now. So I guess Brett will edit this probably to Bianca's likings to fit in with our structured podcast, right?
Yep.
Man, they got the heat on in here still.
And it's smoking.
Can we turn it off? That window? It's hot.
Yeah. Well, I turned it on yesterday when we had some food. And nobody must have turned it off.
At least it works good. Oh, it's smoking. Box elder bug in here.
So, we're going to start with traveling with your dog. That's our topic, right? Yeah, hey, I even got it right. It's written down on my notes. I'm like some people, I got notes. But when you travel with your dog, I think there's so many times when you start out of your house, you set your dog up to get in trouble. Like, people are like, you want to go? Let's go. You want to go? And then their dog's doing backflips and cartwheels. And sometimes it's like you just get them all wound up, and then you go put them in the car.
Before I came here, I would take my dog to work, and I would stop for coffee on the way, and Scout, and I would be like, Scout, do you want to stop at the cookie stand? And he would bark, and then I would take him to the cookie stand, yeah. And I would get him a cookie.
So I feel that any time you load your dog up for failure, kind of, you know.
I think I created car anxiety.
Well, people do. Yeah, they do. And you create leash anxiety on a walk almost by, it's like anything else, you know. Like me when I wrote my books and now we're doing the podcast. For me, if I do them earlier in the morning before I'm all like wound up, you know, from 500 things going on, It's easier for me to focus a little bit. I have trouble focusing anyway, but I can focus better. My focus is more controlled, I guess. So when you have these dogs going out to do something and you have them doing backflips and cartwheels in your house before you ever open the door, it's going to be harder. Not saying you can't do it, because you can, you know. But it's harder, especially if you're trying to train your dog. Once your dog's trained, you kind of don't have to follow this, you know. You can kind of almost do what you want till you start having trouble, and then back up and look at what you might have done wrong and then try to fix that, you know, instead of creating a whole new wheel. But if you have your dog, and we're talking about dogs that go home from training, right, Bianca?
Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, anyone can learn from it if you're not doing.
Yeah, you can see what you've,
for sure,
what you've done that might have created problems with your dog. You might be able to fix them yourself. But for me, the next step is when you get them to your car, you know. I'm assuming your dog's already been out and went and potted, and you've done fed your dog, and they went out and potted again or whatever, and you've exercised your dog some, and then you're getting ready to leave, and then you put your dog in the car, for me, in a crate, preferably, and then you drive to where you're going, and you don't do like Bianca said again, be like, you want a cookie, or a pup lick, or whatever those things are, and get your dog all wound up, even when he's in his car, in your car, going there, you know. And again, not saying you can't get your dog this stuff, but if you're wanting a really good, well-mannered, well-rounded, trained kind of dog, I think you need to try to work on that a lot before you start spoiling them into all kinds of different things. So, but for me, let's say you're going to Wilco, go shopping, and you're a person who likes to take your dog there, and you can leave him in your car if you have the heater on or air conditioner or whatever the weather is, you know, but you always take that chance of someone breaking your window because they think your dog's dying and try to get your dog out, even though it's 63 degrees in your car. So you have to take that in consideration. But if you're taking your dog into Wilco, I don't know. And I've seen it, you know. I've seen people take their dogs in there, and their dogs are just unruly. I mean, pulling them on leashes, dragging them around to toys, and even peeing, pooping in the store, and the people don't even pay no mind to it. You know, they don't clean it up. They keep going, and that's back to the really disrespectful for my part. I feel that if you're going to go to Wilco, and if your dog's trained to go potty when you're going somewhere, then they have an outside area that people let their dogs go potty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have poop bags there. You can clean it up. They've got a trash can there. For me, there's no reason for your dog to be going to the bathroom in the store. So if you really control your dog on a nice heel walk through the store, in my thought, you're still training on your dog. Your dog just not losing it and being running around bouncing off the walls and getting into toys and different things. And if I was taking my dog that I was training to Wilco, it would dang sure be a training session, you know, when I was in that store. And when you stop to look at something, set your dog, you know, have your dog set and behave while you're shopping. And same thing when you go back up to the counter to leave, you know, they offer your dog a treat, or some of them will ask you. If they asked me if my dog could have a treat, I'd probably be like, you can give it to me. And I probably might put it in my crate when I get in my car, you know, and let my dog
eat. Yeah, you don't
it.
Want them to have the association that when they get to a counter,
yeah, they're going to jump up and maul the cashier to get their treat, you know, or the handler. Yeah. So I really think that they should focus on that being a training experience for your dog. And then again, like I said, once your dog's trained, who cares, you know. For me, as long as you don't go to the bathroom, you don't have a 6-foot leash tripping customers when they walk through the store, he's okay. So, and for me, that's kind of any place, you know, that I go that's new to my dog. Like if I'm going to Home Depot, it's the same thing. If I go over to Joe Bob's house, you know, for me, cowboying, there's a lot of times I would go places and I didn't take my dogs. I haul my dogs on the back of my truck. They're either on a chain, which I know you shouldn't really do, or people think you shouldn't. Or they were in dog boxes on the back of my truck. And when I built Fence, people always ask me, why don't you bring your dogs? Well, because my dog has to behave. A lot of clients' dogs didn't behave. And I'm not going to let my dog out at a fence company job and let them get in trouble because I'm not paying attention to them, or that people's dogs are going to come there. Our clients' dogs will jump all over your truck and scratch your truck up wanting to get to your dog that's in your truck. So I didn't take my dogs there, but here, you know, if you're going to take your dog to new locations, I think that you really, you have to kind of figure it out, you know. If you pull up to somebody's house that's got 3 or 4 dogs running around in the yard, and you got a dog in your vehicle, you know, there's always a chance some dog might jump on your vehicle. Even for a good dog, they may still do it. So you got to take that, and then how excited are those dogs when you're trying to get your dog out of the vehicle? You've got to look into that and see if it's a chance that you want to take with your dog. And even if your dog is really well-mannered on a leash, when they exit your vehicle, you have to take into consideration of the friend, family, client's house that you're at, whatever it may be, how good their dog's doing. So do you have anything to add to that, Bianca?
Did you talk about how to haul?
Well, I just talked about I would crate my dogs.
Okay.
But
only?
Well, again, if I've got a well-mannered dog, like Jody's dog, you know, she don't even crate her dog. Some people put them on a harness, you know, and they'll snap them in. I just don't like a loose dog in a car.
For safety.
Yeah, for safety. Not even the dog itself, but you know, a dog jumps over the seat and lands in your lap on the steering wheel, you know. It really bothers me that people drive down the road with their dog in their lap and their heads hanging out the window when they're driving. It's really dangerous in my world. And I know people who do that, and I'm not talking to them, but I'm just talking to humans in general. I don't think it's a very safe thing. And So I think that whenever it comes to the safety part of hauling your dog, you really got to, I don't know, kind of figure out what works for you. For me, a crate's the easiest thing.
Yeah.
I feel that a crate, if you crate train your dog, or pup, whatever, it's a lot safer.
Right.
And it's a lot calmer in a crate than it is on a harness.
Right.
Or loose in your car.
Right.
Or caged in the back even, you know.
Yeah.
And not saying you can't do that, because there's, I know our clients, they've got the wired thing behind their seat, you know, yeah, to keep their dog in the back of their SUV, and their dog don't get in trouble in there.
Yeah.
They open the hatchback on their SUV, and their dog, they don't stand there, wait, Fluffy, don't jump.
Yeah.
They open, and normally they just say, wait, and that's the end of the subject. They open the hatchback, and they put their leash on their dog, or put their slip leash on their dog, or whatever, and then they invite their dog out, and their dog waits till they shut it, and they go on about their business. But until you can do that, I would definitely have my dog in a crate. And I would start training on my dog there again. When I open my crate door, the dog has to wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach in. I'm going to put my leash on calmly or collar or whatever you're going to do. And then I let my dog out. And then I ask them to come out of the vehicle. And they wait until I shut the door, the back, or whatever it is. And then we walk off. And, you know, there's people that says this is way extreme. You know, it's not. If you want a well-mannered dog, you have to start somewhere. And if you pass up a lot of this stuff, then you're just going to have to either backpedal or settle for less. But if you pass it up and you go on, there's so many times you have to break a bad habit that you created when you passed it up. So, Bianca, you anything to add to that?
Not to that.
So, for the where to start part of it, we already kind of went through that, you know. I think that, me, if I got a puppy, and you're going to talk about that in your podcast later today, I heard?
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
So, we're going to just skip that, and we're going on to after Bianca talks about hers. Your dog's a little bit older, and he's a little bit trained, and he can do different things. And for me, that's when you start really teaching them manners, getting in and out of your cars, and crate training them so they ride in your car and not be screaming when you pull up to the coffee shop. And now, when you go to advanced places, I don't know for sure what that details, but for me, it would be like if you're going to go hike and you want your dog off leash, you know, can control your dog. And for me, again, I would probably have my dog crated or in the back in a wire section if my dog's really good, or on a harness, which I'm not a fan on the harness, but I'm not a fan on a dog in the back part of your SUV and behind the cage thing if he's doing backflips, cartwheels, barking and crying. If he's doing those things, you've missed on something during your training. So always, for me, if you take your dog hiking or to the beach, you know, and you do have your dog off leash, for me, anytime I see another person or a dog or a person with a dog, I'll take my dog, recall my dog, and I put my leash on him. I don't just make him sit by me. I put my leash back on him. And we go from there. But it makes it really unsafe to have your dog off-leash, letting him meet other off-leash or on-leash dogs at the beach, because, or anywhere, because you never know for sure what those dogs are about. And so if I'm going to travel with my dog, I'm going to make sure that, for one thing, I'm going to have my pinch collar, probably my martingale, my e-collar. I'm going to have my e-collars charged. I'm going to have a crate in my car. May have a pad in it. We have the pads for the ruffling crates. I'll have something in there so my dog can be comfortable and
not sliding around.
Yeah, and if I'm going to travel a long ways, you know, I'm going to have a decent size crate for my dog. I'm still not going to have a huge crate for my dog because I don't
want to. It's actually safer if it's more fitted. Yeah.
Yeah, and I might, depending on my dog's age and how much for me, the dogs are sometimes, it seems like they're kind of the opposite as the humans. When I was younger, I could go 4, 5, 6, 7 hours without stopping a semi and going to the bathroom or getting a drink. Puppies aren't that way. You know, you need to stop them more and let them out and play for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and then put them back up if you're traveling. And then now that I'm older, I like to stop a lot more, either to stretch my legs or my back or get a drink or use the restroom, whatever. But it's kind of like the dogs, when they get a little bit older, they don't need to get out and run around and do cartwheels as much when you're traveling. But you still need to pick out your spots that you want to stop with your dogs. You know, me, I want to Montana, Missouri, Texas with dogs or whatever. And with my personal dogs, I like being able to stop on the side of the road where there wasn't a lot of traffic and people. And if I could find a stream and it was warm weather, I'd let my dogs out and let them go swim in the creek and play, you know, splash around. And but it depends on what you can do with your dog and how comfortable you are with your dog that way. Me, I kind of recommend you have a long line on your dog or whatever. Don't let them loose if you're out traveling, because they can run away, you know, gunshot from a hunter or something out there somewhere. And your dog hears a gunshot, takes off. So when you're traveling with your dog, I'd really be careful and have long lines on them. I don't recommend just turning them loose and letting them run and play. So, well, Bianca, I feel I've touched on this list. Do you have anything you want to add to it?
I would maybe just go over this really quick.
All this really quick.
Paula Smith.
Well,
says,
you covered some of it already.
Okay.
Paula says, rides in the car with my two dogs and their crates are safer for them and me.
And other people on the road.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to have a dog in your lap and cause a wreck and get somebody else.
Safety is the number one thing. My car is also cleaner.
Yeah.
Less dog hair. My dogs are more calm. It's the way to go for sure. And if you haven't done it, once you do, you won't want to go back. It's so nice to have them in a crate.
You know, one of these podcasts, I think we're going to talk about dog aggression on a leash. You know, we need to do one just on that subject. What causes it? Why? When? Where? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
If we haven't already, but it's one that always comes up to my, for me, with people that's taking dogs home from training. They still can't get them to walk good.
Uh-huh.
So I think we should do one day.
Paula Smith says, I agree, Bianca.
So where to practice with your dog? Do you mean when you're traveling, Bianca?
No.
In general, where to go practice walking your dogs?
That goes with this.
Oh. So this, I'm going to go to here. How to start with your dogs on whenever you take them out and hauling them in public, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to take your dog, and for me, it's always been a fact. I don't want to throw my dog pup in a car and take off to Texas. I would rather haul them around home. You know, take them to Wilco, or if I, like me, I need to go fuel my car up once in a while. I'm going to haul them to the gas station. I'm going to get gas, and then I'm going to bring them back home. Or I'm going to take them somewhere where I can get them out of my car. I'm just really careful for younger dogs is where I take them out of my car at. But I think that to practice hauling your car, hauling your dog, you always want to start with places that aren't as exciting. And to flip that over, one way to get your dog in trouble with starting to haul them is taking them to the local coffee shop and get them treats, or the bank. You know, the bank will even give you dog treats. For me, anytime you pull into those places, it's a treat dispenser, and your dog just gets a treat, they're going to be excited to get to that place. And it don't take them long to figure out where you're going.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what people talk about when their dogs come here. They're excited when they turn on Mountain Home Road a lot of times because they know where they're going. And these dogs figure it out pretty quick where their route is. And so you always want to start with less stress on you and your dog, because it's a lot easier for you normally to go, let's say, to Ball Peak Park and work with your dog compared to going to downtown Newburgh.
That's a great example.
Yeah. Because you can go to Ball Peak or go to the river, you know, Rogers Landing, or Jake Woods Park, maybe, but there's a lot of dogs that go there. You know, if you go over on the, what is that, Main Street side, you've got a maybe a better chance of getting your dog out of a vehicle and training on them a little bit. And
yeah.
For me, you know, a really good training exercise for your dog is, instead of me being aggravated if someone showed up, if I go to, let's say Roger's Landing and train on my dog, and I got my dog out of the car, he's been really good, everything's going really good, somebody pulls in the parking lot and I see him unload the dog off leash and turn it loose, I'm probably just going to load my dog up and shut my kennel and close my hatchback or my door, and then I'm going to drive to Jake Woods Park and I'm going to get him out and maybe train on him a little bit there. And if somebody shows up with a dog, I might load him back up and go back down to the Rogers Landing or, you know, go somewhere else and find me another spot. But because all of that's so good for your dog, because he's getting hauled a little bit at a time, and each time he gets out, he's getting a little, have a little bit of fun. It's not like we're going straight back to the house and get put in a crate or on place or whatever. He gets ride around a little bit. It gives him a chance not to get so car sick by hauling him so far. It gets him used to, like you said here, a lot of the smells, you know, the noises, new smells. I mean,
yeah, if you just took your dog home from board and train, and I've made a list, I'm going to have this in our go-home packet as like a PDF, but if you just took your dog home from board and train and you start down there, like outdoor patios, the busy city, the beach, Wilco, it's going to be hard.
Yes. Yeah.
And then one of many things happens.
Or in your bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the dogs... I don't know. A lot of these dogs, if you start out with Wilco, have you some roll of paper towels or poop bags under your arm, you know, because they're going to smell another dog and try to mark their terrain. And so it just makes it a lot harder. And you've got to keep increasing it somehow to get them in those spots.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't want to avoid it.
But for
you just
me,
don't want to start there.
For me, with these dogs, and I mean, I guarantee you, we could have a whole conversation about dogs back talking. If you get out one of these places and your dog starts whining and crying and wolfing and talking to you, that's a whole other thing that you need to address, you know. And like I said, we'll talk about these some more topics on what to do when you get into those situations. But if you... take it easy with your dog or your puppy, whatever you have, your rescue. If you don't, I just say throw them out to the wolves, you know. If you don't just bust into downtown Newburgh or Portland or Wilco or Home Depot or dog park, you know. People try to walk their dogs. When they haul them, they'll go to a dog park with no intentions of going into the pen, but they want to walk their dog around the outside of the pen while the dogs are in there playing. And that's just what causes this increased adrenaline rush, because that dog just wants to go play. And they're like, no, you can't go play. You got to behave. And it's like, you, the owner, just went from preschool to exiting college in that training session. And the dog don't have any of that information with the owner. They do with us. I mean, majority of the times... I don't know what dog we couldn't take into those situations that leave here that wouldn't be good. I mean, we might have had one,
but
not
we
sure,
earned
but,
it.
Huh?
We have earned it. We have. Not even the dog. We have.
And so the person who has these dogs, and it's always, you know, like if you take, let's say you're going to load your dog up and you feel comfortable now and you're like, man, I could go to Snyder Park where there's always a dog. Mm-hmm. And not always the best dogs either. But let's say you're going to go to Snyder Park and, man, your dog sees five dogs dragging people down and your dog's lunging on the end of the leash. What do you do? For me, if you can't just stop it, you load your dog up and you call us and be like, hey, I got a real issue. And let's try to address it. Don't be like, holy crap, they didn't fix the dog, because I'm sure me or Bianca could go do that with your dog. So,
it doesn't matter.
No, we don't care why. We're just supposed to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If we don't know it, we can't fix it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that you and I can do it. We want you to be able to.
Yeah, the owners. Yeah. I tell people constantly, it don't matter what we can do with your dog if he can't do it. Yeah. But the whole thing is you can't do it normally is why you're here. So once we get to where we can do it, excuse me, then we have to get the owner over to doing it. But if you go home with your dog and have trouble and you think your dog ain't fixed and you don't contact us, it's not our fault, you know. We assume that you live happily ever after. And so, but that is for the advance on these dogs. You just keep increasing the excitement, the smells, the noises, like everything's just gets, it'll stay good if you do it this way. It won't stay good, like I said, if you just go to the dog park where there's 20 dogs being bad, or if you race up to Snyder Park, and even sometimes at your house, you know, if you go out your front door and you turn left and you walk 3 blocks and there's 10 dogs bouncing off the fences, but you turn right, there's no dogs bouncing off fences, I recommend you go to the right a few days until you start getting it together. And then you might only go to one or two of those fence bouncers on the left and correct your dog and then go back to the right, you know, to finish your nice walk. Just don't keep feeding them the adrenaline and the fire that's got them here to start with. You know, you got to go very carefully at it.
Sometimes the advanced location is your neighborhood.
It is.
If that's where you have a bunch of problems, I was really stubborn in thinking that when I went home with Scout, he should just behave in the worst place that he ever was at the apartment. And it took me a while to realize I needed to go get my shit together somewhere else before I could brave the worst place he ever was. He didn't go home just like miracle cured, didn't have the same triggers. I had the same triggers and had to go somewhere else with him until I was ready to walk him in the neighborhood without losing it.
The apartment was such a good challenge because it had like squirrels, it had dogs.
Bad dogs every corner. You could not go out of the house without having a dog react to you or people, oh, what a cute dog!
Yeah. Remember,
like he's going to eat your face off.
Remember the dog that they were going to have to move out of their apartment over there?
Yeah.
Lana, was that her name?
Luna.
And even when we went there, because they took the dog home, and another trainer or two told them the dog couldn't be fixed, maybe, I don't know. But we went to their house, and I have never seen it personally just happen. But this lady came out her back door of the apartment while we were standing there with Luna, and the lady seen Luna, and she ran back in her house with her dog. Remember that, Bianca?
Yeah.
And so it was really... Sprinted. Yeah, she like got out of there.
Left.
And, you know, we ended up fixing the dog. And the guy had a lot better walks than the lady did, but the lady could still walk the dog. And there for a while, they even brought the dog here when the husband had to travel for a day or two and let us keep it until the lady got comfortable. And then, didn't they move out of state or something?
No.
Because we don't ever see their dog.
I think that they just moved out of town.
Yeah, maybe they did.
I think they moved out of their apartment.
Yeah, it seems like they moved, but we haven't seen her dog for a while. But the whole thing is those people didn't give up, and we didn't give up on them. We kept on until we got our dog fixed. So.
And it didn't take much troubleshooting.
But begin, you know, with your dog when you go home is in your house, in your backyard, in your front yard, in a quiet field somewhere, you know. Find a place that you can train on these dogs and where you can succeed. You know, we're not wanting you to go home and be like me whenever I do something stupid and I just like bail all in, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like take your time and have fun. You know, you should have fun with training on your dog. The basketball courts, we can't say that, you know, because not. I don't know if you're supposed to, but
oh, I do.
I guess if you're playing, you go to a volleyball.
Basketball court is
tennis
perfect
ball.
Place to practice your heel because you can follow the lines. And
tennis court, you could because you can be playing with a tennis ball.
Well, yeah, I'm not going into like Newburgh School District's basketball court. Yeah,
but you could go to a tennis court with a ball because then you're playing tennis. Well, you're playing tennis.
Scratch up the tennis court.
I could bring a basketball.
But your dog can't retrieve it. You know,
mine can.
Well, he can play soccer. But go to those kind of places. And then if you're going to take your dog off leash and you're not comfortable with it, like Bob, you know, that Bob dog went home, man, they went right to it. And
yeah, I wouldn't even say turn your dog off leash and you're not comfortable with it, because some people turn their dog off leash too soon because they are comfortable with it, but it's not reliable.
Yeah,
I don't care if you're comfortable or not. You need to know that it's reliable recall for you, and you have to earn that. You can't just take it home on day one and turn it loose at the beach.
And one lady did that, you know, but she just wanted her money back. She went home the day after she left here and turned her dog loose on the beach without an e-collar and gripe because it didn't come back. And it's like, well, did your dog come home with you? Yeah. And well, then it came back. Yeah. So it's just really thing. And ask us if you really, and Bianca's going to make some bread, or somebody's going to make a bunch of stuff on
PDFs,
there.
PDFs, yeah.
Yeah, so you can kind of go over it. But the basketball court, I've been told, is a good spot. Quiet neighborhood, you know. And if your dog is trying to get the dogs that are fence fighting, you know, on a walk, the human knows where every dog is on that walk. And they're like, they're ready for their dog to lunge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're really setting your dog up to kind of fail. So go other places that are less likely to get your dog and you in trouble to start with. And then just keep adding to it. And then, you know, go to the busier neighborhoods and do the... excuse me, do the group walks with us in town, you know. That's a really good opportunity for you to get your dog in a low-stressed environment that where you have, you know, one or two or three trainers there to help you with your dog. That's what we do them for, is to help you adapt with your dog from here to home, you know. So the busier parks, you know, and I said Snyder Park, I don't know if you could ever go there and not find a dog.
Yeah, for sure.
There's times when you can find 50 kids there playing, and you can find them doing
birthday parties,
yoga in the park. I mean, you can always
soccer,
you know, there's always a lot of stuff going on there. And we need to go back there one day. We haven't been there for a long time. And a box store, you know, we talked about that, going to Home Depot and Walmart and, or Wilco. I don't know if you go to Walmart, but.
Don't take your dog to Walmart.
Yeah, I talk about going there and getting a stuffed dog all the time. 15 people going through Walmart with their dog. Marvin said that we could. Remember Walmart dog?
Yeah.
He went Walmart.
Yeah.
So, Bianca, you have anything you want to add?
Nope.
Brett, you got anything you want to add?
Schools after hours, is that a good option?
I don't know.
After hours,
I don't know.
Like a field,
I don't know. Okay. I wouldn't recommend it because I don't know if it's legal.
That's it.
Yeah.
Rochelle.
Also, sometimes there's kids there. I don't know. People.
Anywhere you go with your dog, yeah, you really gotta be safe.
I don't want kids getting ate.
We go.
So, literally, someone asked if Axel could get a treat at a gas station. Like, no, thanks.
Well, always take them, give them later. It's free food.
Well, not always. Sometimes the treats at the gas station would be like diarrhea in an hour.
Michelle said, I got scared shitless yesterday by a dog behind a fence. I was not expecting it. Like, I knew a dog lived there.
That's not
What
fun.
Did you say, Brett?
She said that she got scared by a dog behind a fence. She was not expecting it, and she knew that a dog lived there.
You know what I'd like to do is, since we're on a subject, traveling with dogs and walking dogs and taking dogs places, I'd like to go to some of those gun stores and stuff, which I probably can't, but video all the tools they have there to protect yourself from loose, aggressive dogs. And they're not guns. I'm not talking, they have a lot of guns too, but I'm not talking about the guns. I'm talking about the dog spray, the bear spray, the horns that you blow, you know, the different things. I would get in trouble if I lived in town and walked dogs all the time because of the fact that the time and the money and the effort that I put into having a cool dog, and then I got some asshole's dog off leash trying to attack me or my dog, you know. And so there's just a lot of... risk and challenges for people who want to walk their dogs in town all the time because of the amount of dogs that are off leash that are really good, you know. Especially if you've got an aggressive type of dog that you can control on leash, and some loose dog comes and tries to play with your dog, then you might have a dog fight. And to me, it's not your fault, in my opinion only, if you have your dog on a leash and that dog comes into your dog's bubble, you know. So I'm not a lawyer, or I can't go to court and defend you. I could go give my opinion, but I think that there's so many times that when you leave home with your dog, I'm just going to retouch on this whole thing because we have a minute or two. When you leave your home with your dog, you should not get your dog excited, correct? Mm-hmm. I would make my dog sit, behave while I put my leashes and collars and stuff on them. Then I make my dog be good when I go out the door. I make my dog be good when I shut and lock my door. I make my dog be good walking to my car. I make my dog wait. And I might even really practice opening my car door and turning and walking off with my dog on heel. And then come back and make my dog sit and load my dog so he don't just get in the habit of busting in my car every time. And then I would crate him, especially if I was a young dog or a rescue dog that I was training on. And then I would close everything up. And then I'd leave and go to where I was going. And it'd be the same thing getting out of my crate. I'd open my car, make sure my dog settles. I would open the crate very carefully, of course, put my leash on my dog, get my dog out of the car, make him settle till I shut my car up. And then I would go for my walk, whatever I was doing. But I would do it all slow, steady, and be training on my dog till I have a good dog. Anything you want to add?
Nope.
Brett?
Nope. Laura, I think it's Aiko's mom said, that worries me a lot.
The loose dogs in town, for sure. And aggressive dogs on leashes, I don't like.
Hey, how is Akko?
Yeah, how's Akko doing? Heard he went from toilet paper corn cobs.
Yeah.
I wonder if she started feeding toilet paper rolls again now.
Hopefully not.
Hope not. It's just terrible that, man, we had, I don't know, years ago I had a dog that ate black walnuts.
Ooh.
And he had surgery so many times, the vet said they couldn't do, there was too much scar tissue. They couldn't do no more surgeries.
Oh.
And the people wanted to know if I could fix him. And I told him I could fix the dog, but I don't know if I could fix them to keep the dog being good. Because they just let him run out in the walnut fields, you know, in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't recall him, and they won't make him behave kind of stuff, you know. So we can't really fix that. I mean, keeping a dog from eating walnuts is not hard. Have a well-mannered, leashed, trained, recall-trained dog that you don't turn loose in the walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
But did she answer us about Akko?
Laura said good, but messed up at the moment. And then she said, no, I have not.
Well, if you need to walk him in a nice environment, you're welcome to load him up and come out here.
Yeah, I don't know how soon he can have activity.
Well, I would think that he needs to walk some, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But if you can walk him and you need to walk him and you want to walk him, you're welcome to load him up and bring him out. Just let us know, of course.
Yeah.
You're welcome to bring him out here, and we're here so you could walk him and get in some exercise. All right, Brett. We're good?
Good.
All right, man. Let's bail off here. And we'll see y'all next week. Right. Hey, don't forget, Bianca's going to be on here later today with her puppy podcast.
Wait, am I doing Facebook Live or Instagram Live?
I don't know what you're doing.
Puppy podcast.
So you're not going to be, like, visible?
Live. I don't know about that.
That's She's going to do something with puppy podcast today. Y'all have a good day. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast. If you found this information helpful, we suggest following even more of our dog training tips and resources on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher.